So we're now past the halfway point in the Republican primaries, and we still have no clear frontrunner. It is still a three-way race with four men running, and the guy that no one paid any attention to last year keeps walking away with primary victories.
In spite of all the odds, all the money being spent, all the establishment being on the other side of this race, you stood with a guy who comes from this grandson of a coal miner from a steel town in western Pennsylvania.
So joining us now to sift through these results, Takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist Ron Christie and Molly Ball. She covers national politics for The Atlantic. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
You know, Ron, let's begin with Rick Santorum and whether or not it's time to start talking about his possibilities as a nominee.
Well, Celeste, good morning. I still don't see it. I mean, if you look at the current Republican delegate tally this morning, Mitt Romney, the former governor from Massachusetts, still has 485 delegates to Rick Santorum's 246. And while Senator Santorum had very impressive, although narrow, victories last night in Alabama and Mississippi, Romney's still the front runner. He still has the money, he still has the organization, and I would still dare say he has the momentum. So I don't necessarily believe now is the time to say that Senator Santorum can overcome him.
But Molly, let me ask you about the Mitt Romney as the front runner. Take a listen to, well, this is kind of a dig here from Newt Gingrich.
The fact is, in both states, the conservative candidates got nearly 70% of the vote. And if you're the front runner, and you keep coming in third, you're not much of a front runner.
Molly, does Gingrich have a point here?
He absolutely does. And while I think we can agree that he is the front runner, he is a tremendously weak front runner, and he keeps getting knocked down. It's almost like a ritual humiliation by the conservatives and the Republican base to keep dealing these defeats to Mitt Romney that say, look, you may be inevitable on the math, but you're not sort of inevitable in our hearts. And we're going to just keep demonstrating that over and over, especially in these states like the South, where there's a large evangelical population and a large rural population and a large conservative population.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to what that means for the general election. But let's stay with Newt Gingrich here for a second. Take a listen.
What will become a challenge is we'll now have 3 or 4 days of the news media, and they'll all say, why doesn't Gingrich quit? These are the same people, by the way, who said last June that I was dead. You know, they recycle this every 6 weeks. And the biggest challenge will be raising money because we came in second.
So let me take that to you, Ron Christie. We didn't say he was dead. We said his campaign was dead. But it's true. I'm asking this morning, why is he still in this race? Are you asking yourself the same thing?
I am. I mean, the math for me just doesn't add up. I mean, the former Speaker of the House has 131 delegates to Romney's 485 to Santorum's 246. I don't know where, if the former Speaker cannot catch fire in the South, can't win in Alabama, can't win in Mississippi, I don't know where he thinks he can win. So I think he's in for a purpose that is beyond running for president. Maybe it's running for keeping his name recognition up or selling books or getting a contributorship on television, but I don't see him running for president with a viable path to winning the nomination.
Molly Ball, do you predict that Newt Gingrich will stay until the convention as he says he will?
That's really hard to predict, not only because Newt Gingrich is a rather unpredictable character.
Yeah.
I think it's true, it's absolutely true that there's no way forward for him. There's debatably a way forward for Rick Santorum, despite these wins. It's arguable that he can ever overcome Mitt Romney in terms of delegates. Mitt Romney, despite sort of humiliating results like last night, continues to pick up more delegates than Santorum, got delegates from Hawaii, is going to get delegates out of American Samoa. So these sort of unglamorous, non-momentum boosting wins are going to keep padding Romney's delegate count. And the only way for Santorum or Gingrich to stop Romney is to create this tremendously messy scenario that Republicans really don't want, where the convention is thrown into chaos. So no, there's not a path forward for Newt Gingrich, and his relationship with reality is such that we just don't know when he will wake up to that fact. But the path forward for Rick Santorum is still not particularly bright either.
That's Molly Ball. She covers national politics for The Atlantic. And let's go back to Ron Christie, our Republican political strategist and Takeaway contributor. So, Ron, again, we have to talk about what this all means for whomever is the nominee, presumably Mitt Romney, come November. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that this has to be hurting him as a candidate, right?
Not necessarily. I think the one thing that you can say is that whomever the nominee is, and it's likely to be Governor Romney, Republicans are really distraught with the leadership displayed by President Obama, with the economy, with health care, with a whole range of other issues. And I think that while there might be angst amongst certain conservatives right now, I think the party will unify behind the eventual nominee. And if you look at the New York Times and the Washington Post polls this week, both of them have Governor Romney, albeit with a slight lead, leading the president right now. So I think the president is a little premature to be a little cocky about his prospects for election.
Yeah, but Ron, I don't mean to argue with you, but the turnout in all of these primaries almost universally has been dismal. More people voted in the gubernatorial primary in Mississippi last year than voted in the presidential primary yesterday.
No question. And I think the Republicans, and you and I have spoken about this for several weeks, the Republicans did themselves no great service by having a long, drawn-out primary process when they had an incumbent, very strongly funded Democratic individual in the White House. And I think this is where the chickens, to quote Jeremiah Wright, there's a shock for you, are coming home to roost for the Republicans. I think now this is what happens when you have a long, drawn-out fight with an incumbent Democrat, and a long process only hurts the Republicans in the short term, but I think overall we'll be fine when it's a long contest.
Molly Ball, do you agree? Do you think that Mitt Romney will not be hurt by this sort of bloody primary season?
I don't entirely agree. I don't think there's any way the Republican nominee loses Mississippi or Alabama. So in that sense, I don't think that last night's turnout should give the party pause about their prospects in the Deep South, where they remain very strong. But it does tell us something. You know, I think there's a chicken and egg scenario to some extent with the primary calendar being drawn out and the quality of the candidates being what it is. If you had a Ronald Reagan or two Ronald Reagans in this race that people were excited about, that were getting the Obama treatment of the giant crowds and the grassroots organizing, then we might be talking about how this long primary was such a boon because it allowed them to go to all these different states and draw out all of these ecstatic, excited voters. And instead, the opposite is happening. We're just seeing state after state, the voters sort of turned off and apathetic.
So you're talking about a chicken and egg scenario, and Ron Christie's talking about chickens coming home to roost. I sense a poultry theme this morning. That's Molly Ball, who writes about politics for The Atlantic, and Ron Christie, who is a takeaway contributor, Republican political strategist, and contributor to It's a Free Country. Thanks, guys.